You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99, the comedy channel. We're here, of course, with the beautiful Miss Krista Montella and my co-host, Mr. Daniel Natterman. And,
not sure why you used my full name.
I think it's nice. And then we have one of our favorite comedians here sitting in right now, Mr. Keith Alberstadt.
How you doing?
Hey, Keith.
Hey there.
Who apparently just got engaged.
Yeah.
By the way,
a few months ago.
No, but just real fast.
Yes, sir.
What about the email for comments, questions, suggestions, and other stuff that people want to say.
Comedy Cellar Show at ComedyCellar.com. Or we have another. We have the old one, podcast at ComedyCellar.com.
That's still...
We have both?
I think that still works,
Podcast at ComedyCellar.com.
Yeah.
We certainly want to hear any thoughts and suggestions, or just praise, or, you know, whatever you have to say.
All right. I spent the whole day today arguing with my old friend, Daniel Kirschheimer, on Facebook. Are you and I... Facebook friends, Keith?
I believe so.
Yeah, well, you probably don't see. I have this friend, Daniel Kirschheimer. If somebody knows Daniel Kirschheimer, the one who went to PS75, you should mention that tell him that I mentioned him on the radio today. So he sucks me into the vortex of arguing. But today's argument was pretty interesting, and Keith probably has some opinions on it. He may not, you know, want to offer them because he has a career to worry about. But it was about Trump and this lawyer thing. Are you guys following this?
Yeah.
Trump said he didn't want the lawyer because he's a Mexican.
Judge.
The judge, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the judge in the case.
He also felt that the lawyer had treated him unfairly.
The judge.
The judge.
Yeah, I did the same.
So he...
So, you know, at first, I was pretty, against Trump. I said, what a jackass, you know, for the way he puts everything and the way he says everything, and how can you complain about a judge being Mexican And the only point I made was that, on the left, they always make the case that that ethnicity and race mean everything. So Sotomayor says that a Latina woman makes a better outcomes as judges, and people don't believe a cop if he's white, and people believe that Clarence Thomas is a sellout if he doesn't have the opinions that a black person is supposed to have, and all these... But then I was arguing with Daniel Kirschheimer so much, I began to take Trump's side a little bit, and I and I don't know how to feel about it, because I was thinking like, I don't know if he had a right to challenge the judge. Don't get me wrong, but if I were Donald Trump and I had just called Mexicans rapists, which he, you know, I think was terribly said that, and I was advocating deportation of families. And then I find myself before a judge whose sideline is being a member of the La Raza legal organization. What are the odds that this guy, that Trump doesn't find himself at this point before a judge, which he knows can't stand him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I began to think of something else, which is an argument I hadn't heard anyone else say, that let's say this judge is really committed to serving his people, the Latino immigrant population, whatever, and probably crossover illegal immigrants, right? And he says to himself, look, if Trump can lose this lawsuit, then that makes him... Hi, is this your fiance?
This is Kelsey.
Oh, this is Kelsey. Oh, sorry.
Trump conversation.
If Trump can lose this lawsuit, and that can lead to him losing the election, that can mean that I, as the judge, have... done
no
a tremendous
power.
Service
right.
to the people that really mean the most to me, which is the immigrant families and whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be very tempting to try to put your finger on the scale a little bit to try to make sure that... Because you actually, it's not just Trump's case in your hand.
There's a definitive link?
You might have the election in your hands.
Right.
Why, though? What? There's a definitive link between him...
No, because however bad this case makes Trump look... can affect his chances of winning the election, or a judge might conceivably think that way.
Right.
So now I and if Trump had put it kind of the way that I just put it, I don't think anybody would be calling him racist. But he's such a jackass. He says, "Oh, he's a Mexican." His common sense. I don't want to go before a Mexican. And I say, "What if he's a Muslim? I wouldn't want a Muslim either." You know, he's such an idiot.
Or a woman.
Well,
Nora.
he's gonna say. I think he would have said whatever. He would have found some kind of fault with whoever was presiding to push the case to after the election.
What I think he's trying to do, I think his game was that he wants to so much muddy the water that when the verdict comes against him, which I think it probably will, it already looks like the whole thing was biased. That's what he hopes to. He mm-hmm. wants to make this trial look like it wasn't fair from the beginning.
The question is it inherently racist to say that somebody of a particular ethnicity might have a bias? That's the question I put to you. Remember that when people pick juries, they put a lot of effort into picking the right jury based in part on demographics.
No, it's not inherently racist. It's not. Let's all be grown-ups here. It's not. No, none of us, all of us, when our life or liberty or property are on the line, is going to be worried about going before a judge who might have some bias against them. But this is the jury trial. You know, the judge is just presiding. He's not actually the decider. If he was the decider, I think it would be a lot more serious. And, of course, Trump has the right to appeal. And then, of course, in a criminal trial, I'm sure the judges...
So you're saying it's not inherently racist.
It's not inherently racist, but it's also not, I think, that valid. I mean, in a criminal trial, the judge has a murderer in front of him, and he probably knows he's a murderer, and I'm sure he abhors a murderer or a rapist, but he can still be professional and preside over the trial in a professional way.
What is the case, even? Because I feel like that's gotten lost. What is he on trial for?
I'll tell you something. So I think Trump, unless he has some evidence that the judge is doing something that he has a reason to object to, the presumption is that the judge is able to put his biases aside and handle the case professionally. He's on trial for... Does anybody want to...
No, I don't know.
For Trump, he had this kind of like fly-by-night Trump University.
Right.
Another one of these... there used to be infomercials and stuff doing the same kind of thing, how to flip property with no money down and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And it was a high-pressure thing where they show some of the sales books where people were encouraged to get people to... go and to fully max out all their credit cards in order to buy this thing. And in one sales thing, say like, and if it's, for instance, a mother who might, you know, be having trouble feeding her kids, you should, you know, maybe play on that and say how much, wouldn't it be better to have money coming in and then you could feed your children? I mean, like really like high pressure and unscrupulous sales tactics. And that's what he's, and it turns out, you know, and Trump sold it as this kind of, As a real value, as you could really learn this and make money, and apparently it was just get the money.
So the suit is being brought by the people who attended, so to speak, this university.
Who claimed they got
cheated. Okay, are we ready to start recording? By the way,
we are recording.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was just preliminary.
Your job is to make jokes. Dan thinks that if we talk about the thing which everybody in the country is talking about today, that people were going to turn it off.
What? No. I think we should talk about Trump, but I felt us getting a little too heavily into the details. I think that's enough, but that's my opinion.
All right, so go ahead, Dan.
Well, first of all, you had mentioned we have Keith Alberstadt with us and Kelsey Cook, but...
No, I don't know. Do I know you?
Hi. No, we haven't met before. Hi.
How do you not know her? She started. She's working at your club.
You're working here?
Yes.
He doesn't
yeah.
know everyone.
You don't know everybody that works at your club. I thought Esty.
We do. We went over.
Disgusted.
We do go over. But I guess there are some people who she says that I just haven't seen yet, and I guess I didn't register the name.
Yeah, it's okay. I live in L.A. I open for Jim Norton on the road.
Yes. Now I do know her.
That's Kelsey Cook.
Nice. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming.
Well, you know, we were talking the other day. And
I'm sorry you're not Keith's fiancé.
That's okay.
You guys would be a handsome couple.
Well, but Keith's fiancé is certainly fetching herself.
She is.
Yeah. I'm sure. I have no doubt.
I actually
you're fetching.
I met Keith. I think I met her before you met her.
You did.
Known her for years. Well, she didn't give me the time of day, but...
How'd you meet her?
She was hanging around. She was hanging around the cellar years ago. She was kind of like a cellar fan, right?
She did a couple of the things for the Dave Attell, the stuff he was doing next door. She was involved with that.
Is she a comedian?
No.
Oh, thank
she's
God.
Not. But she lives around here. I think they dragged her in off the street. She was in, and then she came in for a couple of shows here.
She's just a comedy fan.
She is a comedy
nice.
Fan.
She's a comedy fan, but she's not a comic. So, Noam, I guess, disapproves on comic.
Do
relationships?
You? No,
yeah,
no,
you?
not in general, but for Keith. I just see him with like a more old-fashioned woman. Actually, I don't want to say that. The kind of girl I wish I had. You know,
we're gonna have a farm and a prairie.
I believe
we're
it.
That old-fashioned.
Well, because Keith is one of the few comics.
Raise our own food.
Yeah. He's one of the few comics that's outwardly, not one of the few, actually, there's a few, but he's outwardly conservative. He is a. Is that correct in saying so?
No, that's not correct at all. As a matter of fact, he's a fag.
Yeah. I don't.
Hey, look at his shirt.
I don't talk
his
about.
His shirt's so bright.
This is. Father
I don't
want
very loud.
No, I don't want to put words in your mouth. But you have a conservative leaning.
I don't talk about it on stage. Yeah, I don't even talk about politics
all right,
on stage.
But you believe that a white America
preferable.
Oh yeah, he doesn't bring. You don't bring it up. You don't bring it up on stage because you think it'll be unpopular, or you just don't feel like bringing it up on stage.
I think we're so polarized as a society. I just want everybody to have fun. I'm up there. I'm trying to entertain everybody, and yeah. I believe my sense of humor, my sarcasm, has a broad appeal. So why throw a divide in there? Why divide the audience like that?
That I'll tell you why. First of all, you're right in terms of. Here at the Comedy Cellar, there's people from all walks of life. But I think to really explode as a comic, you need to, not necessarily need to, but if you took a stand, that could get your name out there. No, because I'm a coward. But also because I don't really have strong political opinions necessarily. But you know, I mean, we all try to please the audience that we're given because as comics, we take who is there. We're not like a heavy metal band is going to play for heavy metal fans.
Right.
A comic plays for whoever happens to walk in the door. They saw the sign, you know, whatever, they walked in. And so it's all across the political spectrum. But people like Marin, for example, who was always very opinionated, very strong in his opinions, that's part of the secret sauce of his success, I think.
Did you see what happened to Dennis Miller when he came out as a comedian? He ended.
You mean a conservative?
As a conservative.
Came out as a comedian. Yeah.
As a conservative.
You have to come out.
His career, his audience just shut down. He's good on Fox News now. If I were a conservative comedian,
you're right.
I would keep it to myself.
You know, you're right. It only works for liberals.
It only works for liberals.
Like Carlin was always like that. Carlin was liberal and he pushed that agenda. To take back everything I just said.
Well, I mean, the comedians who I look up to and try to emulate the most, people like Gaffigan and Regan, let's just go have fun. Let's just have
Thank
a good
you.
Show. Let's make everybody laugh. Try to have a good time.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
but
what
even
I'm going for.
Even offstage, you shouldn't let on that you have conservative politics. You just should not let on. It's the kiss of death. I think it's really really bad.
Right. Are you a clean comic, Keith? I forget.
I am a clean comic.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was a new development, relatively new, when I moved to New York.
You used to be dirty?
It was about 75% clean. I had some dirty material that I
can't even imagine.
But then I got here, and I was like, I want to separate myself. And some of my favorite jokes I was doing were clean, and I figured I'm just going to keep writing like that. So, yeah.
I'm imagining Ryan Hamilton being dirty. I just can't picture it.
Yeah, it's hard to picture because he's so clean cut boy next door. But then again, so is Brock the Stanford rapist.
Yeah. Oh, that's not a bad point. That is not a bad point.
No, it's always those straight up white guys that you never know. But I haven't seen Kelsey's act getting to Kelsey. Are you a dirty girl on stage?
I can be. I don't think you'd look at my act and be like, oh, she's filthy, but
not in the mode of say a Whitney Cummings necessarily or an Amy Schumer.
I mean, it can be on that same borderline, but it's just, it's not all sex material. It's not all
Can we be honest here? Kelsey is gorgeous. Can I say? Well, she is.
Dan,
and
you're very sweet.
I know
you.
You're not supposed to say that because
That's why I'm getting all my words wrong.
You know?
thanks, you guys.
Because it's like a lot of female comics, they want to be funny first and women say, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like if you say that, oh, this is, I know a lot of female comics, I say, you know, they say you're pretty. Well, I don't want to be pretty. I want to be funny.
Oh, I don't take it as an insult. I think it's like fucking great. I'm happy to.
Who have
you
ever said that they were pretty and they said, I don't want to be pretty. I want to be funny?
Phyllis Wang.
We don't want to be told. We don't want to be told that because you're pretty, you can't be funny. But
no,
that's not what you're saying. You're just giving me
saying.
A nice compliment.
Which
I'm
giving
I
you a nice compliment.
Yeah, thank
but,
you.
So, you know, now the logical question then is you open for Jim Norton on the road.
Right.
He's dirty.
He is.
Yeah, but the question is was he a gentleman?
He's always a gentleman. He is a very good man.
See, this
Jim.
Is the point about Jim Norton. He's a complete fraud. Because he comes...
She doesn't have a dick, then.
You know, that might have changed things if I had a dick. But no, he's...
If you had a dick, Norton would be all over you. Trust me.
The dirty little secret about Norton is he is a nice guy.
He really is.
He's not a nice guy.
Well, but he comes off like this perv, you know? And
he is a perv. That's true. He's a perv.
Right. But he's a respectful
perv. I'm not even sure he's that big a perv.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he is.
Well, define perv. If you like to have a girl come over, put a plate of glass over your head and defecate on the glass, is that a perv?
Yes, that is a perv. But I'm not convinced Jim Norton does that. I know he says he does it. I guess a fair amount of mileage saying he does it. I don't think he does.
Dan.
I don't believe that he really does.
Sometimes Dan's naivete astounds me.
Well, naivete. Like a lot of comics, we exaggerate things to get attention or to get so people talk about
that's
it.
It's quite an exaggeration.
No. That's what makes him so great is that everything is true. He comes from like a very raw, real place.
That
and it's
people
so endearing.
Pee on him, I don't doubt.
Okay,
that
maybe,
he's taking,
maybe it
was that pee. He's taking $100,000 bars on his chest, I think is another matter.
Oh, damn.
No. Gross.
I'm just saying I'm skeptical.
And just before we go on, Dan, did you want to say something about Brock the Rapist? You told me off the air you wanted to say something about Brock the Rapist.
Well, yeah, of course I want to discuss Brock the Rapist because it's big news. It's as big news as Trump right now.
Yeah, it was hard to make it funny, though, Dan.
First of all, we don't have to make it funny. But my guess is something funny will come out.
Okay, go ahead, Dan. Are you familiar with Brock the Rapist?
I'm not.
Why is he Brock the Rapist? Like, why are we even giving this guy, like, a title?
Well, what do you want to call him?
Just the Stanford Rapist or something.
Stanford in an N, by the way. I'm from Stanford, Connecticut, so don't think
right, Stanford.
By Stanford Rapist. I'm the Stanford creep.
He's big difference.
This is a but did he actually, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this.
No, you're going to say, did he actually rape, like put his penis inside her?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's, I think he put inserted, his fingers.
Yeah. But it was fingers and like full, like horrific, horrible. Yeah. This girl was unconscious.
She was unconscious.
Was, like they found like pine needles in her. Nightmare.
And pine needles. I'm not
diminishing
or minimizing the horror of what he did. But I do always object to these words, which rape means a 19-year-old had sex with a 17-year-old or 16-year-old. Right. A guy puts pine needles in her, or actually has sex with and then you have to you ask the question, what was it? And then people look at you like, what's the matter with you? Rape is rape.
Right.
I'm like, okay, but I just kind of want to know what he did, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But anyway, the big scandal.
Speaking of rape, what is it, Ray? Okay.
Big scandal is
thanks,
that
Ray.
The judge gave him
6 months.
Six months in prison. Yeah. And so it's a big, my Facebook feed is half of it is Trump. And half of it is Brock the Rapist.
And not prison, like county jail or something.
Right, it's
not
really
even
soft.
Like real, like he's going to get raped prison.
A lot of women on Facebook are posting about how horrible this is, and I'm hesitant to post anything. Like a woman will post, like, this is horrible, and, you know, we should sign the petition. I'm sort of afraid to post because I don't want to look like the guy that's just trying to get laid by posting, you're right, woman power.
I don't think any woman would think that.
Well, they should. They had any brains, they would think that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you won't get laid.
No, but, and also because I feel like they don't want to hear from a guy. Sometimes women, I feel, don't want to hear from men on these issues, necessarily. No,
if you're on our side, we're happy to have more people that share that opinion.
What is going through a judge's mind? First of all, how long would you give
Albus, that's the hanging judge.
How long would you sentence somebody for
that's a pretty brutal crime. I mean, I think we can all agree that
he was
6 months is light.
I'm not excusing. Yeah. I'm just saying because these are the facts which the judge considered. He was drunk and she was drunk.
She was unconscious.
She was unconscious.
She was unconscious. and drunk.
And I don't believe there's any claim
she was unconscious.
That they were that it's not like they started and she was conscious as far as I know. It's not like they were making out and she was and they started doing shit and then she went unconscious. I believe the allegation of the
that he dragged
that
her,
she
he
was
dragged
basically
her
dragged her out there.
Yeah, it's like it's.
And how old is he?
Fucking horrific.
20 years old.
20 years old. Keith, how long?
Nasty business.
A lot of pressure on the line here. Keith, don't fuck this up.
Put him away for life.
There we go. There's a safe answer.
This is the man.
Four lifetimes.
This is the man going places in his career.
Well, I do think for some people, prison is worse than you can't completely dismiss the fact, and it was brought up, that, you know, this guy was, I think, an Olympic-bound swimmer.
Yeah.
And that whole thing is gone now. I mean, that his whole swimming career is over, and his whole... the life that he knew is completely over. I don't think that's nothing. I think that is a punishment, of some sort of punishment.
Oh, don't write and that on Facebook, Dan. Don't write that.
And that's on, a no. That's a no,
right,
no, no.
No, okay. And he's on the sex. And he's on the sex. Well, I'm not. No, I'm not
You'll
saying that should
get
be the
laid
whole.
Talking like that.
I'm not saying. No, I'm not saying that's a whole punishment. I'm saying that is a punishment. That is. Not,
I'd say
that
it's irrelevant.
Is not nothing.
I'd say it's irrelevant. But go ahead.
I wouldn't even consider that a punishment. He brought that on himself.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's part
personal
of that's a choice he made.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but go.
That's a consequence.
Yes.
That's not a punishment. That's
well, no, it is a punishment because he has to go on he has to go on the sex offender list, and he's a convicted felon.
How yes. long, Dan? Stop milly-mouthing.
Also, you know, this guy's not used to prison. For him,
who's used to prison?
Yeah. Some people are used to prison. I think 2 years.
Oh.
2 years.
Oh, Dan.
What are you 2 years?
You know, why? Were you saying 2 years is not enough?
No.
Two years of prison for a person that's a regular person that's not...
He's not a regular
he's
person.
Not a, yeah.
He's a fucking rapist.
Two years is a fucking long time, man. 2 years,
no.
I mean...
Maybe we should vote for Hillary.
Let me tell you something. If I got 2 years, the first thing I would do, and I guess they say if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, and I wouldn't do the crime. One time I did shoplift Love in the Time of Cholera by Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Oh, my Lord, Dan, you scandalous man.
I wasn't caught, though. And I think the statute of limitations is over for shoplifting Nobel Prize winning authors.
Yeah. I think you should get 2 years for holding up a Korean deli. That's I think we
sure.
No injuries.
No injuries.
Yeah, but holding up a Korean with a loaded weapon?
Yeah.
Whoa, a loaded weapon?
Or with or without. I don't know if
a loaded weapon, I mean, that's your people could die. That's
yeah,
a
but
big
if
deal.
They didn't.
Yeah, but when no you injuries. Put yourself in a position where you have a loaded weapon in a criminal situation, that's something society needs to punish very, very harshly.
As opposed to this right. rape.
As opposed to this
oh
guy
God.
Who actually caused injury.
What,
yeah.
What kind of man
damage.
Am I co-hosting with?
I don't know.
Because I think 2 years is a long five. No, you wouldn't last 2 years. But let me tell
have
you
something. Have you raped? Something you want to tell
you
us?
Would not last two you, when
of
I
course,
send you to 2 years
that's the whole
in prison,
point of deterrence.
You would probably kill yourself.
Yeah. All right, then.
Good.
That's a big punishment.
Listen, I have a daughter.
I'm talking about Rahway. I'm not talking about county jail.
If somebody
you get fucked in the ass.
He should.
Picture if you were dragged unconscious into an alley and some chick
beautiful woman
shoved.
Oh, come on. You know I like that.
God damn it, Dan.
God.
Pine needles up your urethra.
Not pine needles.
Oh, the urethra is a different story.
Just would you want her to be punished in a very severe way?
Well, I just think that's the thing. I think 2 years is severe. I think 2 years is a lot of time.
How long, Kristen?
No, minimum 10 to 15.
How long, Kelsey?
I agree, 10 to 15.
Yeah.
Keith said life.
Yeah, but I don't think Keith means life.
If it happened to somebody in my family, I'd say 15 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Or 20 years. I don't know. I'd have to call the Godfather and ask him for justice. You know, like,
what if
the opening scene of The Godfather? I'd have to get him. Right.
It's
got to
be long enough for him to really think about it. And I mean, 2 years is just not long enough. Do you know how fast 2 years goes by?
Oh, it goes by very fast when you're at home chilling out.
Okay,
when you're in prison doing hard time, I don't know how to go so fast.
Okay, but okay, so if you want to talk about this? This is the thing, and this is what his father's argument was. His father's argument was, he's how old? 20 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's super drunk, and he did something really stupid. And you know, he got carried away.
Oh, my God.
And should his whole life now be ruined for this really dumb thing that he did? This is the father's argument.
Right.
And I think that's Dan's argument.
Well, no, my argument was is that he deserves punishment, but I thought 2 years was
No, 2 years, 2 years is not
I mean,
a
listen,
good punishment.
The whole thing.
And the rest of his life is going to be heavily.
What amount of money do you think you should have to steal to get 2 years in prison?
You know, for stealing money, I'm not a big advocate of hard prison time, generally, for nonviolent... Unless you steal it with a loaded gun.
Without a loaded gun. Just steal somebody's
like a
money.
White-collar crime?
White-collar. How much money you got to steal for 2 years?
For 2 years?
Yeah.
You got to steal... I'm, you know...
Kristen?
Nonviolent offenses, a year.
What amount of money?
What amount of money?
A year.
I don't think of it in terms of money. I think of it in collateral damage. How many people are affected by what you're doing.
I'm trying to put a dollar amount on the amount of time that Dan thinks
because
a rape
you can.
Is worth.
But I'll tell you
God,
why.
That is
how it works. If he says $100,000, so maybe just give the girl $100,000.
No, if it's a little old lady and he took her from her life savings, then he deserves prison time. If it's
How much money?
Depends. Is it a little old lady or is it a bank that he stole from?
Whatever,
did he steal
whatever.
From the bank or the insurance company or did he steal from a little old lady?
From you. From you.
He stole from me?
Yeah.
Public hanging.
I'm a Jew.
Well, they caught him and he made did they catch him? If he can make restitution, I'll say he can get away with probation.
All right, that's ridiculous. All right, Dan's ridiculous. I think 10 years. It's got to be 10 years.
Maybe, you know what it is? Because jail to me is a death sentence. That's how I think of jail. But that's because it's coming from my perspective of somebody who even summer camp was too much.
Oh, my God, to picture you at summer camp.
You know, with that instructional swim in the cold water. Every fucking morning. So that's coming from my perspective. But
I think, whatever. Let's move on. Anything else besides on Brock the Rapist?
2 years is only 6 months times four. That's four times.
Yeah, exactly.
Too light, Natterman.
It's somebody's daughter, Dan.
Well, I understand that. Yes.
No, you don't understand that.
No, because I'm not a parent. I don't understand that.
And you never will be. And you need to have children so you understand. You know, I'm beginning. Maybe women are right. Maybe men just don't understand. Like, you know, maybe men are sexist. I don't know.
No, I understand, but...
How could... All right.
We've already beaten this topic to death. I'd only add that if you name your kid Brock, that's the most popular
it's gonna be an asshole.
Date rape name.
Yeah, for sure.
Up there with, Brock's a date rape name.
The thing that pissed me off the most, one of the things that pissed me off the most about this is that if that girl had been conscious, she would have beat that motherfucker's ass.
No, he was a big... He wasn't. No, he was like a big swimmer.
He's an Olympic swimmer.
He's a swimmer. He's not a football
player.
Swimmers
are in fucking good shape, dude.
No. They would have tried to...
First of all, Kristen.
What?
Very rare that any woman can beat any guy's ass.
I agree.
Understand that? Like,
I agree.
Really exceedingly unusual.
Also, swimmers are, very muscly.
Let alone a swimmer. That's right. An athlete that could be considered, even within the spitting distance of the Olympics, is not going to get beaten up
by a girl. I'm not saying beaten up, but there's a likely chance that this, that would have never happened under other circumstances. That she would have allowed that to happen.
All right.
Whatever. Well, probably if he's looking for an unconscious girl, he did that for a reason. He didn't want to fight on his hands.
All right, so
there you go. How disgusting!
Yeah, he's such a creep.
2 years. Yeah.
No problem.
2 years.
Dan, you have
Dan. 2 years, Natterman. They call him on the bench.
I give everybody 2 years.
We got Natterman. We lucked out. We got 2 years, Natterman.
I'm Judge Natterman.
You've heard of the hanging judge. I'm the kissing judge.
Today's gonna be a breeze.
We should
in court.
Settle.
Trump will sign right up.
Well, I have a bleeding. You know, I pass by a prison. To me, if I'm driving, I pass by a prison. I have that same awful feeling as passing by a hospital.
I feel bad for what's going on here. I'm gonna lay it out to Dan, and I have some understanding of him being another, a small, nerdy Jewish guy.
No. I know where you're going.
Just let me say, couldn't be a worse place to go. if some burly blue collar guy walks in when Dan and I are down, I'd be like, I don't like being around these big blue collar guys. Dan feels that way. To Dan, his huge phobia of getting fucked in the ass in a prison. Which is probably this is his nightmare. This is in 1984, this is the thing that they terrorize him with at the end. This scares him so much that he's unable to even think about anybody being sentenced to prison without freaking out. Am I correct?
That's a large part of it, I think. But it has nothing to do with the blue-collar guys.
In prison, I
would imagine I would last about a day. I'd be the
that's
guy
right.
at and, the beginning and, of Shawshank Redemption. Everybody bet he's the guy that kills himself. You remember the beginning of Shawshank Redemption? They all took bets. Who's going to kill himself tonight? And
if you got falsely accused of raping a girl and got sentenced to 6 months in prison, maximum security prison, big black guys, the whole deal.
We don't need to get racial. Come on now.
Would you? I know your fantasy and your fear. So I want to make it clear. Would you think you would kill yourself before you went in, or would you serve the time?
That's a good question.
I don't know. I think maybe I could do 6 months. I think I could do 6 months. Not sure. But that's not my biggest fear.
What's your
my biggest fear is food poisoning.
Oh, my God. Damn.
While in prison.
On a transatlantic flight.
Oh, my God. Don't worry. That's our biggest fear also for you.
I just... can we move along?
I actually have that fear, too, that Dan has. And I actually also had made the argument before that I think you can make a good argument that all prison is cruel and unusual punishment under the Constitution. The very idea that the state can lock you up and not protect you from prison rape means is something that I think is unacceptable. You have to leave?
Yeah, I got a set.
Oh, why didn't you tell me I had a set?
I'm first up on this
show. We'll get you when you come back. Come right back.
I meet some interesting people in New York. I recently met a woman with a rescue dog. I say, what kind of dog is that? She goes, it's a German Shepherd rescue mix. That makes no sense at all. Rescue is not a breed. Rescue is kind of like an adjective when you're talking about an animal. So I said, that's cool. I know a cat who's half Siamese, half sleepy. People who have rescue pets are kind of annoying. They're so proud of themselves and what they've done. That's the only thing they want you to know about the animal. What kind of dog is that? I don't know. He's a rescue. He's a rescue. It's lazy. You don't do that with kids. How old's your son? I don't know. He's adopted. He's Korean, adopted mix. I'm single again, I had a bad breakup. Fact is, I don't date very much. My sarcastic nature tends to ruin dates on occasion. Here's what I need. I need what NFL quarterbacks have. NFL quarterbacks have an earpiece in their helmet. When something bad's gonna happen, a coach will call down to them and say, you better call something else, this isn't gonna work. And they will call an audible. I could use that. So when I'm on a date and a girl says something stupid, I can go with plan B instead of my gut and salvage the evening. You knitted a Snuggie for your cat? What a... That is adorable.
I did want to ask Kelsey, because Kelsey lives in Los Angeles.
Can Ray Ray wants to sit down. Ray, yeah, sit down. Come sit down, Ray Allen. We have a big...
horrified by what I'm hearing.
We're talking...
I know. Get on in here. I've been here for a week. I fly out tomorrow.
So why'd you come here? She's an L.A.-based comic gnome.
Yeah, I flew here because I was on the Gotham Comedy Live on Access TV on Thursday.
No, is that terrible?
TV? Hey.
Oh, he doesn't like to talk about other comedy.
No, I'm kidding.
I know. But yeah, so I flew out for that, and then I had other spots booked. So,
have you been on that show, Dan?
Yeah, I have done. I have done it. Yeah.
I don't even... How do they get that show? I want that show.
Well, you could, but
I want a Gotham Comedy Live.
You want that show?
Yeah, I want that show.
Really? Read the contract already.
All right. Yeah, but that, I mean, I want... I don't know. I don't know how
you
they...
Want you want that show.
You could have a show tomorrow, but you haven't taken any steps to get a show.
No, there's been steps.
No, I don't want...
Someone just needs to read the contract.
I don't want to take any steps. I just want them to give me the show. Of course, I know I should take the steps. Somehow I think I'll never get that show.
It's already in the works.
I think even if I take the steps... That's not in the book for me and my career.
Won't be in the books if you don't read the contract and return it.
And I feel like...
Well,
and this is, by the way,
explain what you're talking about, Ray. Ray, apparently some producer wants to do a show here.
I want to say that. And I think this is what's going to... Because this is going to kill the whole Vegas thing, too. I think that to open a club in Vegas or to have a show, there's tremendous pressures on you to make it schlock. And that's the problem I'm having in Vegas, only Vegas, and I see the Gotham show, which is, you know, it's just the quality is inconsistent, and the production values and the whole thing about it, and it's kind of like
the Gotham
this
show?
Hokey MC thing, yeah. And I feel somehow whenever anything comes to television or goes to Vegas, there's just these pressures on it to homogenize it and make it suck. And that's why I think I'm never going
to
have anything.
If you work with schlock, it'll be schlock. But it doesn't have to be that way.
I don't know.
At all.
I think that with Netflix and with some of these Amazon, I think there's a lot of room now to do things like Louis did on FX. He couldn't have done that on network TV. You're absolutely right. But FX is a smaller thing. I think there's room to do what you want to do. I mean, you could even produce it if you use your money and produce it.
Dan, the thing you were talking about, so we went to this, I brought it to a couple of different production companies that want to do this show.
Go ahead.
But he just got to read the contract and get and finish it. That's it.
Big mouth.
I didn't say anything. I didn't reveal anything. You and Ray. Anything secret.
Kelsey, by the way, just getting back to you quickly.
Yeah.
Do you feel why have you made the decision? This is, of course, a lot of comics ask me this decision: New York or L.A. That's the most common question I get from young comics.
Right.
And you made the decision to go to L.A.
Right.
Is that because you're from Seattle and?
Yeah, I think partly. I'm born and raised in Washington State, and before moving to L.A., which was like a year and a half ago, I was in the Seattle scene for about 4 or 5 years, and that's a pretty natural transition to just go, you know, drive 15 hours south, and then you're in like one of two major comedy markets. At the time, I had more connections in L.A., and so I had a guy who wanted to manage me that had some connections. I was like, we want to help you, but we can't if you don't live here. So,
what does a manager do? Do they do anything?
They can help with auditions and kind of getting you in front of the right people.
Well, you're trying to get into movies and things like that?
Yeah, but other comedy things too. I'm with a different manager now, but she's fantastic. I mean, she's really good. She's very well connected and kind of.
I've never heard any comedian say a good thing about their manager. You must have the best manager ever. No, I've never heard it.
I never liked mine.
She kicks ass. She's great. Well, I adore her.
My manager is a fellow named Johnny Lampert, and
he's the guy I met in the men's room, right?
You didn't meet him in the men's room.
He tapped his foot 4 times.
there's some Johnny Lampert.
But he does a bang up job of getting me work.
Nice.
A lot of PAs.
A lot of personal appearance work.
Yeah.
And he got me on America's Got Talent, which I didn't want to do at first, but he pushed me to do it, and it actually was a very big help.
You must have made at least 200 grand because of America's Got Talent.
If you add it all up over the course of the years.
Yeah, that's what I meant, yes. Yeah.
How long ago did you do it?
Oh, yeah. Right.
How long ago was that you did that?
I suppose. It was a lot more than... that was 2 years ago, 2.5.
Nice.
Yeah, it was... I mean, had I gone further, you know, obviously I would have made more, but it was a big help. It's starting to wear off a little bit. Now I'm searching for the next thing, you know. But or again, pharmaceutical sales, as I've mentioned.
Yeah. At least you're not Brock the Rapist.
So Kelsey, she came down from Seattle to...
Now, Seattle and L.A. are not close, by the way. I made that mistake
15
once.
15 hours.
Yeah, because like once I was in Seattle, I go, I'll just go down to L.A.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not like...
Turns out
not
those states
like
are
that.
Big out there.
Yeah,
it's not like two states on the East Coast.
It's a wide expanse. But even from you know, from Florida to Maine is... More, right?
But that seems like it should be because there's like 13 states in the way.
Right.
But like Seattle to LA, you think, a couple of states, boogie on down.
Yeah, California's a long one.
So are you a regular at all those, like the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory and those places out there?
Yeah, the Laugh Factory is the one that I work the most.
That's Jamie Masada?
Yeah, yeah.
I heard that there's a free-for-all over there that
what?
Dane Cook, was that the one where Dane Cook?
Yeah, there
won't
was a fight
let,
with Dane.
Won't let anybody perform or something?
There was a fallout between...
There was a... Dane Cook is supposedly banned from there now.
Oh, that's
so,
what it was.
But, I mean, it's like a fortress to get in there. I got very lucky, and I had opened for Bob Saget on the road maybe like a year before that, and he was just very sweet and was like, whatever I can do to help you, let me know. And I told him when I moved to L.A., and he helped me get...
He's a nice guy, right, Bob Saget?
Oh, he's amazing.
And he
he's
never
the best.
Tried.
When he's here, he's a real gentleman.
He never tried anything with you?
No.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean it. I mean it.
Why not? What do you think? Is he married?
No, but I mean, guys, like male comics that are that big are smart enough to know that if they're creeps, then it's the word's going to get out, and people don't want that reputation.
It's not creepy.
He could have actually tried to actually date you.
To try something. That makes you a creep?
Well, I guess if he's married...
The human population sustains itself by trying something.
No, I mean...
Somebody's got to try something.
I guess hitting on somebody is different than like making an active effort to fuck them, which I guess is how I interpreted what you said, but maybe...
I didn't say it.
That is what Dan meant. You're correct, Kelsey.
I guess...
buy your dinner first.
There is something, you know, when a comic is that big and that established and Kelsey is that new, there is something inherently... one could consider that an inherently creepy move.
Like a Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky
thing? Yes. Yeah. You know, when the power difference is that vast, one might, like you, and so a way...
Another left-wing view
no,
of
this. I'm not saying yay or nay. I mean, if he would legitimately liked you as a person and wanted to... But one might say they're taking advantage of somebody who is in a position, a weaker position.
A Bill Cosby move, you're saying?
No, no.
I don't think Sag was trying to drug Kelsey.
Dan only thinks Bill Cosby should get like 6 weeks. So.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my God.
Well, Bill Cosby.
He's old. Well, when somebody says, "Did he try anything?" It's not. That doesn't mean like ask you for coffee.
Right.
Like, did he try anything? I mean, that's not.
Yeah,
you're implying
you.
Something
try
sinister.
Anything. Yeah, try anything yeah. sounds.
I
yeah.
don't know. I married
a waitress,
a woman who used to work for me.
Okay.
And I was never a creep. I never tried anything with you, and you probably felt a little like insulted, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, wait. You mean she got insulted that you never tried to bang her?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Because the reason he's saying that is because Amy Schumer hates Ray because Ray never tried to bang Amy Schumer.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Well, that's a reference
that's
to a
running joke that's
previous
been going
episode.
On
okay.
at no, the cellar.
There's no joke.
Oh, regular listeners will know what Noam's talking about.
So I don't think it's creepy. Listen, when I was a kid, you'd meet people all the time. How did your mom and dad meet? Oh, he was a counselor and she was a camper. He was a teacher. She was a student.
Wait. Teacher-student.
It was very common in those days.
Really?
Yeah, now those people go to jail.
now they have a whole web of laws that restrict people from doing what is going to happen anyway.
If Dan had said to Kelsey that Sag had ever tried to date you, that's a different positioning the question differently.
Try anything is exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Try anything is never like, oh, did he ask if you wanted to get brunch?
Right.
Try anything is like, did he try and finger you?
By try anything, I meant it to cover the complete range of romantic/sexual overtures. That's what I meant by trying.
Like when I tag it says, "Listen, you want to leave the Red Roof Inn and stay with me at the Ritz?" That's yeah. that, you know,
right.
Boom.
How's no. that La Quinta treating?
By the way, make Noam happy and tell him how much better the scene is here at the Comedy Cellar than at the clubs in L.A. Unless, of course, that's not true.
No, it really is amazing. I get tempted to move here every time I come for trips. Because I'm here in the city maybe every other month or so. Because with the tour with Jim, there's these breaks where I'll come and try and just stay for some time. And
where do you stay?
I stay with a friend. She lives in like kind of East Harlem area. But yeah, I'm very happy when I'm in this city. And this club is amazing.
Why is it so much better here than at Gotham? I mean,
you're going to get me in a little trap here. Kidding.
Why is it so much better here than in L.A.? The scene, not the club. No particular club.
I think for a comic, there's an opportunity to do way more sets in a night. Just geographically speaking, you can whiz around Manhattan and get up on a lot of different places. In L.A., it's like, I mean, I feel like you're lucky to get maybe two or three spots in a night. And you have to be a really, you know, kind of high up there working comic where you're past a lot of places. But even then, just getting from each club to each club, it takes a lot longer. So when I'm here, I feel like things move faster career-wise. Like, I feel like a joke gets better quicker.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that, actually.
But also, is there the same hangout? Here at the Comedy Cellar, of course, the crowds are always great, and we have a lot of shows, but
yeah.
In addition to which, people are hanging out here upstairs at the Olive Tree Cafe, less so now that the kitchen is under renovation. We hope that ends soon. Because if I eat another panini, someone's getting stabbed. In L.A., is there a hangout scene? Is it as robust?
No,
as it is here.
I think there's definitely more camaraderie here with comics. I mean, in particular at the Cellar. But
did you audition for a lot of TV shows in L.A.?
Because
New York, there's not as much stuff to audition for.
Right, some. I do feel like there are quite a few opportunities over there.
Anybody that we might know tried anything with you? It's got to be someone.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody that you would know. No.
You can't be like one of like. Two hot female comedians in the country and not have people try anything with you. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense to me either, but that's what y'all have to take her word for.
Maybe you throw what do you think? Maybe you throw off like a vibe?
Well,
like
she's got a boyfriend, you know, right now.
I have a boyfriend, so maybe that, I don't know.
Is he a comic?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, so maybe that's why people don't try anything. Because they know.
All right, so I'm not so stupid.
Oh, wait, is that him over behind me? Is that your boyfriend?
No.
you're going out with Norton?
No.
Oh, that's right, who's your boyfriend? Somebody we know?
His name's Kane Holloway. He's in L.A.
Kane Holloway?
Oh, he sounds
handsome. Like another Brock.
Another Brock.
Oh, God, no. Brock. Don't fucking ruin his name.
I'm just saying that name sounds that
Kane,
kind of a
like
name.
Kane, like
K-A-N-E, yeah.
Oh, he sounds very handsome. That's a handsome guy name.
What ethnicity is that?
I was like,
is
a white guy.
He is just a typical white guy.
Typical white guy?
Kane Holloway.
Now I'm going to ask you a real question.
Sounds dreamy.
Okay.
You have a, is he not as successful as you are?
I've had more things happen for me in the last year or so than he has.
What kind of strain does that put on your relationship?
It's tough. We've learned how to deal with that better because when he's actually been doing it for like a year or so longer than I have. So when he and I started dating, we've been together for about 4 years. When he and I started dating, he was ahead more than I was in the Seattle scene. He'd been there for longer. He was getting better spots than I was. And then things kind of started to happen for me. And I don't know, one thing led to another. And I think especially as a guy, too, it can be emasculating. Yeah. And if you've been doing it for longer, it's tough.
I think it's going to break you up.
You think so?
I'm totally serious.
I've heard this a million times. You're not the first person to say it.
I think as long as you're both supportive. When I was dating Lynn Coplitz years ago, I was hosting a TV show in New York, and then she got a deal with NBC while we were dating. And truthfully, we were both happy for each other. And there was no problem. That wasn't why we broke up. Because she's batshit crazy.
That's because maybe... I don't want to say, I make a bad joke. Never mind. But maybe her boyfriend is realistic about his career, and I don't see. I couldn't do it. If I was with a girl, especially if it started out like I was kind of like the one, and she was kind of like coming up behind me, and then she totally outpaced me, and it looked like she had a bright future, and I was kind of maybe fizzling out. I'm not saying that's what, but if that were the case,
right.
You know that happened.
I'm not cut out like that. I would not.
I believe in Greg Fitzsimmons.
I wouldn't feel like a man.
You know Greg Fitzsimmons, great comic. I believe when he started dating Sue Costello, she might have been like an open micer or something. I think, and they dated for a really long time. And boom, she had a deal like for her own sitcom called Costello on Fox. She was scheduled to be on Murphy Brown. I mean, all kinds of great shit happened.
I'm gonna add something to it.
And I think that might have ended it.
I don't think the woman likes it either.
Likes what? Mm.
I think the woman is also not going to be that comfortable with a man who in that dynamic. I don't think so.
I think many women would not, but there's plenty of counterexamples of that. Well, that'd be Dolly Parton's husband, somebody you've never heard of, for example.
No, that's not somebody you've heard of or not.
You're talking about they both did the same profession, same thing.
Yeah, imagine Dolly Parton's husband is doing open mics, singing folk songs.
Yeah, but whatever Dolly Parton's husband is doing, it's nothing compared to what she's doing, whether it's in the same field or not.
No, but there's a different nuance.
Yeah. It's the direct comparison. Right, yeah.
Well, there isn't a direct comparison.
Let her answer.
Well, I have the answer.
Go ahead, Dan.
If I were dating Kelsey and she was shooting to the stars, I would just say to myself, yeah, because she's a pretty girl and I'm an old creep.
Yeah, I would justify it that way. Wouldn't like it, is what I said. She wants to have a man who has something about her that he's really good at what he does. And
right.
Whatever the profession is.
That's the thing. I would never.
But Kelsey
have been...
would know that I'm great at what I do. It's just that there's a conspiracy against me.
Yeah, I keep feeling it's like it's always coming out the wrong way. But you know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I would never have been attracted to him in the first place if I didn't find him hilarious.
Right. Women comics are a strange breed, Noam. And you don't know this intimately because you're not you're of us, but not among us.
Yeah.
Or whatever that means.
I agree.
Female comics are a strange breed. If you're funny, they will fuck you.
and
they will love you.
Right.
You know, I think that women comics value that, I think, is more than anything else.
Yeah.
Wait, Noam, are you posing that a woman, a female comic, does want to be a lot more successful than her male comic boyfriend?
I was saying a woman, no matter how feminist society gets and how much we try to wring it out of our human nature, I believe that the dynamic of a very successful woman with a man who is struggling to be somewhere and kind of not actually accomplishing it, and whatever it is a dynamic which in most cases will lead to a relationship that just doesn't work out.
You should try to get Anne Hathaway on the show then, because she's an Oscar winning actress,
yeah.
And her husband or boyfriend, whatever, he's like, you know, an actor who...
And Amy Schumer's currently dating somebody who... I don't know what he does, but...
Was he a carpenter,
I think. He's a carpenter, yeah.
But carpenter's fine. That's the thing. A carpenter is fine.
Right.
He can be an awesome
comedy.
Carpenter.
Sure.
Doing great in his carpentry. Yeah.
And Hathaway's husband, I don't know what... I don't. He was an actor. I don't know if they met... I don't know how they met. I didn't ask them.
I mean, there's exceptions to everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What do you think, Ray? You think women don't care? You don't think that
my sister,
competence and success is attractive to women?
It is, but my oldest sister is outrageously successful.
She's an
engineer.
She's an engineer.
Not the writer, the other one. The other writer is successful, too, but she's not married. And the engineer's husband, he does okay.
She's not
he's
outrageously successful is a strong term. She's not Elon Musk.
She's not Elon Musk. Come on. It's one of the richest guys in the world.
That's a successful engineer.
That's, But she's like the vice president of a very big company in Silicon Valley.
That's not outrageously successful.
Right. Really, Dan?
Vice president's not outrageously successful?
Okay. How much are you making tonight to do this podcast?
No. And the schlub.
That's not the point. You said outrageously successful.
And the schlub that she married?
Not even a schlub, but he's like, he's successful, but not as much as her. He does okay.
What does he do?
Engineer. We're both engineers.
And he's
it's the smart side of the family.
Right, whatever, Kristen. All right.
What?
All right, let's move on. You guys are just fronting. Everybody knows I'm right. Let's
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I may not disagree with you, but I think female comics are. You're lumping female comics in with every other female on.
They're women.
They are women, technically.
And this is a compliment. Right. Some of them, you know, some female comics have like a. They're, you know, maybe have a weird psychology. She seems like a everyday girl, like
don't
a woman.
Don't you believe
no,
it?
Thank you.
she's like a well-adjusted woman.
Thank you. I'm not a psychopath.
Well, yeah. She's actually taken my side more than you guys have.
She seems.
Well, I understand what you're trying to say, and I'm explaining that I don't think that what's happening right now in his career, as far as like it kind of being a struggle to stand out in LA, because he's one of a million white dudes.
Yeah, the prognosis is grim.
It's hard for white guys.
It's hard. One time in life where it's hard for a white dude. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to stand out. But I don't look at that as a reflection of his talent. I mean, fucking look at Steve Carell. He didn't have a huge break until like 40-Year-Old Virgin, and I think he's one of the most talented actors and comedians on the planet.
Did he ever try anything with you?
That's the real question here. I mean, I hope that something happens for my boyfriend, like a big thing sooner than age 40, but I'm just saying, he'll be 30 in August.
Does he ask you all the time, did this guy try anything with you? Did that guy try anything?
No, and that's another thing too, is like I couldn't be with somebody who isn't secure in themselves. I couldn't be with a jealous guy. Because I'm on the, you know, what I do is like.
And also, you guys have a great relationship. He trusts you, and you don't give him reason not to.
Yeah, totally.
I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle my wife or my girlfriend on the road either. I couldn't handle it.
I guess I better.
What can you guys handle? You can't. Handle
I better cancel Anita's
so
ticket that I got her. Shit.
You could handle that.
What handle what?
Your girlfriend touring with Jim Norton around the country.
If it was Jim, I wouldn't care. Sure. I wouldn't. That'd be all right.
Bob Saget.
If it was Jeff Dye,
I'd be more worried
Jeff
about.
Dye,
if
no.
it was Jeff Dye, absolutely not.
Yeah,
Jeff
that's
Dye's the most. Who's the most handsome man in comedy? Is it Jeff Dye?
I think Jeff Dye.
You think so?
Jeff Dye's a beautiful man.
He is magnificent.
Yeah? Do you like his comedy?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Actually, yeah. He does make me laugh. He's a beautiful man.
She went right back to his beautiful man.
Beautiful man.
He looks great.
He is very funny.
He hasn't been here in a long time. Yeah, he was a really nice guy, too.
Nice.
Is he famous now?
No. If he was famous, you wouldn't have to ask that question.
He was texting me photos. He was doing a pilot, like a thing where he's traveling over the world with like William Shatner and like Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did it get picked up or just?
Yeah, Better Late Than Never on NBC.
It's on?
Because he just did the I Can Do That show on NBC. Uh-huh. He's getting pretty
NBC
big.
Loves him.
Suck that Jeff Dye dick. They love him. They love him.
He's nice and he's handsome and he's funny. Why wouldn't they love him, right? Look at Ray. Ray can't.
What? He is. He's a very nice, handsome guy.
So let me. And then you can be the celebrity judge. This is the reason that I thought it would be a good idea for Ray to come on today. I don't know if you know. We talked about you last week.
Oh, what happened last week?
Because apparently you plugged your Aruba show on stage.
Oh, this was said on the air?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes, and Esty is very upset with you.
Now, she's mad that I plugged it on the stage?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yes.
First of all, I was introduced at the top of the show as Aruba Ray Ellen by your manager, Liz. That's A.
Liz
Harrison, because Harrison wasn't around, so Liz did the offstage mic.
She says
Aruba Ray Ellen. Then Lenny Marcus goes on stage and does a bit about going to Aruba. It's a really funny bit. He talks about fresh fish, blah, 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 blah. So I go up after Lenny. And I give Lenny shit about the Aruba thing. And I happen to say, by the way, if anybody in the audience is going to be in Aruba June 12th to July 21st, you should come on and check out a show. Why would Esty or anyone else give a shit?
Oh, no, well, he no. didn't.
Let me ask you. Do you think that anyone is not going to go to a show at the Cellar because they're instead going to fly to Aruba and see a show there instead 3,000 miles away?
Yes, I do, Ray. I think you're that good.
Yeah, all right. Anyway. And also, people on stage all the time say, oh, you're from Ohio? Oh, I'm going to be in Ohio March 1st to March 15th.
But Esty likes those people.
That's the problem. She wow. gives me shit. She would never have done it if Michelle Wolf did it or Louis said it or anyone else.
If Louis said it, no, she wouldn't say
whatever
it. She
reason,
wouldn't say a word if Louis did it.
Anything I do, it is viewed as not being a bad thing. If a comic comes down to Aruba, there's 100 people who work here a week. If two comics come down here, they're not allowed to go on. They can go on the road as long as it's not to Aruba. They can go to Texas and Ohio, but if they come to Aruba, no, you shouldn't take that road gig. It makes no sense.
Well, this is what I think. First of all, why don't you sit down with Esty and try to talk to her?
If she'll be willing to listen, I'd be happy to.
Well, I'm sure she'll listen.
Let's tell her to listen to this episode, because I think what I just said is pretty good.
No, but Esty's made up her mind. You can't.
She made up her mind. And everything I just said to you, I know that you know what I just said is very rational.
To be honest,
he defended you on the show.
I don't want to take sides against the family.
No, but did. You said you didn't think it was that bad.
No, I didn't think it was bad at all. I actually thought it didn't matter. Exactly what
Doesn't
you said.
Matter.
No one's going to go out and buy a ticket
to
Aruba.
Right. No way.
I said the only thing that I don't like is if somebody plugs Gotham.
Oh, my God.
Can I tell you something?
I got set on the S-way game.
You know what's amazing? I've had comics say to me, mention I'm headlining at Caroline's next week. And I said, I'm not going to say that. And you're an idiot to even ask me. Why would you do that?
Truth is, I don't even care about that.
But I was looking out for the club.
Yeah, I think that there's more to be gained by being kind of magnanimous about those things. There's no real impact on our business because...
Zero impact.
Because the real fans of any comedian know that they're headlining in Caroline's, especially now with Twitter. The word gets out. And, you know...
And by the way, you've been to the gig in Aruba twice. You've hung out there two different occasions and saw multiple shows.
I know you're crossing the line. I really...
You're in the newspaper down there.
You have to humiliate me as well.
The newspaper said, Comedy Cellar owner, famous Comedy Cellar owner, Noam Dorman attends the blah, blah, blah. It was the whole thing.
He really has no social graces.
What are you talking about? You said it on the air that you were there. You said nice things about the show.
The show was great.
Thank you.
Are you trying to, get me to plug your fucking Aruba show now?
I know.
Arubacomedy.com.
The oh my God.
But now I forgot what I was saying.
Well, I'll
talk
to Esty if you think I should. I'd be happy to.
But
no, maybe you should set up a meeting with the
five families.
The
with the Ray
but Dan, I want you at the meeting as well. I need someone else who maybe has my
That's
back.
Not going to help your cause.
It might not, actually, because he'll probably go, Seth, 6 months is fine. 2 years.
Yeah.
But she really is angry with you about it.
Apparently.
And the Aruba stuff really does get under her skin.
Why?
Whatever. And I really think you should talk to her about it and try to settle that.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, you need to sit down with Esty.
Sure. She also seems to forget that the comedians who come, she's like, you're taking all the comedians. I'm like, I've known everybody for 20 years. If I call up Kevin Brennan and go, hey, you want to come down to Aruba? We've known each other since I met him when I was in college.
I don't know if this is interesting. And Dan, you can stop me if it's not interesting.
Go ahead.
Some of this is a holdover from a psychology of a different era. There was a time when we were the little guys on the block, and we were living off table scraps of time that various comedians had to give us while they were busy doing catch or improv, and then we had Boston Comedy right around the corner was competition. And at that time, anybody coming in here and taking comedians away or giving them spots, it was a threat to us because we would cobble together a lineup with like two or three really good comics and then whoever else we could just get to go on. It's totally different now. Now we're kind of the big kid on the block and everybody comes here and we're robust and we can take these kind of things. And actually, and I told this to Dan, I actually think it's actually better for us in a sense that everybody knows that if they want to meet comics or even want to connect with comics to give them other gigs, that the Comedy Cellar is the place to go. It's kind of like a meeting place for the comedy industry. And I think that's actually better for us and outweighs even the fact that somebody may get a gig who we might want to use a particular weekend. But I think that Esty hasn't fully internalized that things are not as they were. And in those days, we used to really circle the wagons to try to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. Is that a good explanation?
Yeah, I guess so, sure.
Dan, was it all right?
Yeah, I think that there's more to it than that.
Well, she doesn't
like
Ray.
I think she doesn't like Ray.
I think you might be right. It's incredible.
Well, there is that.
You take three people who all say or do the same thing. If I do the same thing as two other comics, for whatever reason, she'll pull the pistol at me.
She doesn't like when Vinnie Brandt used to work here,
yeah.
We stopped using him. Because he was using this as a place to hire comics.
And that's a local, he does a thing in Jersey.
Yeah.
Now, let's keep in mind, by the way, I started working here.
Nobody disliked him.
I started working over 10 years ago. Yeah. The whole Aruba thing has been the last two, three years. So I've been here a long time before I ever went to Aruba.
Listen, it's a classic Godfather thing. He says, blah, 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 so long as your interests don't conflict with mine.
Exactly. And they don't.
Well, I don't think so.
Right.
But Esty does think so. And let me tell you something. Esty bleeds Comedy Cellar blue. I've said this many times. I would say, honestly, she cares about the Comedy Cellar and its success more than I do. When it's busy, she is elated. And when it is slow, she is miserable.
Then she hasn't been miserable in 3 years.
No.
Because the cellar's been packed every night.
Any little thing. And the truth is, her compensation is not affected. The only person who's affected by the dollars is me.
Yeah, yeah.
But she lives on it. It's like her life's energy is affected by the ups and downs of the comedy.
I get that. Sure.
So she guards it very jealously, like a child. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
I invited her down, by the way.
To Aruba?
Yeah, I did. I really did. And at first she said, oh, that sounds good. I'd like to go. And then,
maybe the last thing, Ray had sex with a 75-year-old woman. Did
Jesus
that?
Christ.
I'm sorry, 77? How old was she?
You know what? It wasn't sex, first of all. It was not.
God, for some reason, it just sounds so much worse now. Yeah. It sounds like you got creative with her.
I just went down on her.
Yeah, I wish it would have just been sex rather than whatever the fuck you
how
did.
How old was she?
She was about, yeah, you got it right.
77.
But it wasn't.
Why?
But it was not. There was no intercourse. There was no. I think I was doing
what
somebody.
Was it?
Why would Esty not like this man?
Oh my God! So charming.
This is awful. Why? I was. Maybe I just felt bad for her.
No. Why? Oh, why is that Ray. Bad? Is what I'm saying.
Oh, thank you, Kristen.
Oh, Kristen.
Thank you.
What can I ask? What you did?
They were just touching. That's it. I didn't
touch
but
you.
I didn't,
no, don't touch me now. Don't talk about judging and then
was,
you touch me.
It was I didn't touch her. She just
she gave you a little jerky jerk.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
A little arthritic. Yeah. Jerk off.
Oh God.
Grammys.
Can you still remember the knuckles, the arthritic knuckles of her hand around your?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I never would have brought. Why did I ever? Why? How did that story come out?
There's no chance she has serious radio.
I don't know. First of all, I don't like this elderly bashing. I mean, Ray.
Yeah, all of us are going to have those wrinkly hands one day.
Well, she's the last girl at the bar.
I would go on record as saying that.
It's got to be an explanation.
Like, on the other night, there's this 83-year-old woman here named Rose. She comes here all the time to listen to music.
Aww.
You know what Noam said? Noam's playing music, and Noam said, this piece of ass right over here is 83 years old. No respect.
First of all, no.
Now, Rose is the kind of woman.
She loves it.
A long time.
That's
right.
Does love it, but. But no,
and she was, and she got up and she was dancing kind of sexy.
Yeah.
And I actually admired her. I said, this fine piece of ass is 83
she
years old.
She probably got a
and
kick out of the compliment.
Everybody clapped. I wasn't being disrespectful. I would never
in the context, it sounds okay.
I'm not by nature disrespectful.
But a piece of ass, you meant it in a sarcastic way. Obviously, you don't think she's a piece of ass.
I didn't mean it.
She looks pretty good for 83,
yeah,
Rose.
I mean, I didn't
for
83, mean it,
she looks all right.
I meant it to be, ironic, but I didn't mean it sarcastic, like...
No,
but
your
like,
heart was in the right place, like but it's not something I would say, personally. But.
All right, I might not tell some of your jokes. Anyway, so...
By the way, your nanny, by the way, was very nice. Very sweet,
Ray,
nice
don't
person.
Oh, Ray also banged my nanny.
I didn't bang his nanny. I dated her for a year.
You didn't bang her?
We made love.
He banged her on the night he met her.
I was going to say...
You're making it sound like
I
did something...
somebody for a year and...
I didn't bang her.
He banged.
Every time was sweet, tender.
No,
we banged, but he makes it sound so crass.
Like a one and done, he makes
it
sound.
Yeah, that's what he makes. Thank you. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you for helping me out.
All
there.
I can tell you about the nanny is that she ghosted us.
She did. She ghosted everybody.
Shocking.
The family and me. She really
Ray.
Did. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up.
We are wrapping up. I think I would like to... say that I think this was a good show.
Very good.
Yeah.
I want to see Kelsey's act. I've never seen her act. Are you performing tonight?
I'm not here.
But
Gotham. She's
going to
be in Gotham tonight.
Oh, tonight you're at Gotham? Should we go to Gotham?
Should I have her do a guest set downstairs?
It's fine, but I don't know if there's room on this show. But if you want to do a guest set on the later show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have to look at what time my other spots are, but if I can make it work, I'd love to.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
By the way, Ray, don't ever do that again.
Do what?
offer somebody a spot on one of our shows.
I said, why don't you?
But in this
you
case,
you see her.
In this case, it's actually perfectly
she's
okay.
In town.
Are you at Gotham tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't care about Gotham.
Also, by the time this show comes out, she won't have been there.
No, but you want to go ahead. Plug where you are this week. Go ahead.
Well, tonight I'm at Gotham in the Stand, and then I fly to Atlanta tomorrow for the Laughing Skull Festival. So, if you are in Atlanta, any of you listening, I will be there.
You know, I know this is going to sound like I really didn't see the Stand coming.
Oh, my God. I can't do it anymore.
I really didn't expect that. But
I guess you could edit that out.
By the way, are they going moving?
I don't know. Are they?
By the time this airs, her Stand spot will be over.
No, yeah. Okay, I'm kidding.
I know.
Listen, is it okay that she mentioned Atlanta, or is Esty going to get upset that she mentioned something in Atlanta?
Esty likes her, right? Listen, you know what? It's part of life to read people's temperature about you, and if you know you're on thin ice with somebody, maybe you don't want to dance. Like, maybe it's time to go easy.
Maybe your manager shouldn't introduce me as a Ruba Ray Ellen.
Well, maybe you didn't need to double down on it.
The joke, I didn't even think about it. It was such a harmless thing. It was harmless. By the way, Dan's going to be in Aruba July 10th through 17th.
That is true.
Right.
hopefully my sore neck will be better by then, so I can jet ski.
Yes.
I'm having terrible pinched nerve.
Dan.
I was finishing my health report.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kelsey. I do make the cellar my priority, though, every time I'm in town. Whatever the spots are, I like make sure that, and then I try and fill in around that, so.
That's very nice of you. And honestly, it's all joking. I don't care about who you plug.
Oh, okay.
Ray.
Yes, sir.
Be careful who you plug.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well,
incredible.
Look, this is happening.
Isn't
to him.
That fucked up, Kelsey?
I don't want it to happen to me.
He means that
Kelsey,
in all the ways possible.
Kelsey, two weeks ago, I was on the podcast with Godfrey and some other people. Godfrey, in front of us, he said, yeah, I'm going to be in Houston at blah, 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 and I'm going to be in Cleveland at blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, and I'll be in Aruba, you know, June and July, blah, blah. And she looked at me and was like, what are you doing? It's unbelievable.
It's Godfrey.
It's unbelievable.
Have you seen his act?
Who gives a shit? Who cares who it is?
He destroys Ray.
It doesn't matter. And he's not going to be here destroying because he'll be in Houston and Ohio.
For a 39-year-old man, you haven't learned many lessons in life.
I guess not.
When you destroy,
I do
at
destroy.
A comedy club, you can
you
do
should
what
come
you
watch
want.
Over at the Village Underground every once in a while.
I do watch. But Godfrey is a juggernaut of an actor.
Godfrey kills harder than anybody in New York. He kills harder than anybody in New York City.
Every time I haven't seen him in a while and I come back and see Godfrey, I'm like, oh my God. And it's always
he kills harder than anyone.
He is really, really.
He's great. Yeah. But anyone but me is allowed to plug shit in her head.
Let me tell you, not only is Godfrey allowed to plug stuff, he's allowed to not show up at least 3 out of 5 spots. And nobody says anything to
that
him.
That is true,
That's
too.
How hard he kills.
That's how hard he
you
kills.
You try that, right? Mm. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you to Kelsey. Thank you, Keith Alverstadt. Dan, you good? You want to plug your Twitter? No? Okay. You have a Twitter?
Yeah, it's at Kelsey Cook. KelseyCook.
And at Ray Ellen, R-A-Y-E-L-L-I-N.
Oh, Ray Y.
I know.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.